passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more, whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. And happy Friday, everybody. My name is Wei Ting. To kick off your weekend, we are going to give you a little bit of a preview of an exclusive that I have been doing for the better part of the past year plus on our Post Wrestling Cafe Patreon with a good friend of mine and a good friend of all of you, WH Park. It is called MCU Later. It is our weekly recap and review of all things MCU, and that includes, of course, the Disney Plus series, and that includes every single movie released thus far. So, of course, Disney viewers will know, and MCU fans will know, that this week Ms. Marvel just came out. So, of course, we are going to be covering that every single week. And here's a healthy chunk of this week's debut episode for you guys to listen to sample, and see if you want to jump on. PostWrestlingCafe.com, of course, is where you can go to support us. Not only do you get every single Marvel review, and that includes our Doctor Strange review, our Avengers reviews, Spider-Man reviews, but also every single Friday night. Tonight, Rewind to SmackDown is where you can hear me and John talk about WWE SmackDown and also AEW Rampage. Every other week, we have Rewind Away talking about retro reviews, and of course, the latest edition of Talk, Ask Away, and our entire archive of Patreon bonuses. $6 a month gets you access to all of that, so check it out. And that's all I have to say.
And I
see you later.
And welcome, everybody, to MCU Later. We are back. It is me, Wei Ting. I'm your host. And it almost feels like, you know, every time we take a bit of a break and then come back, it almost feels like it's the end of summer vacation. And then I'm seeing all my friends again. And I have so much to catch up with this person because I've barely seen him, barely spoken to him throughout this entire time. How have you been, WH Park?
Good, good. Congratulations on your recent revelation on volume 5 of Talk with John. And
Paul McCartney was great. I got to see, yes, Paul McCartney.
I was so shocked that you went to Syracuse. You drove there with friends. I'm unbelievably jealous, but yeah, but yes, you're impending addition to your family. Congratulations again. You did tell me in person several months earlier, but we should.
You are part of the elite club that got to know a little bit in advance. So thank you very much, WH, and thank you to everybody who's sent me some well wishes. It's been wonderful to hear, like, from, especially from, like, other people who have recently gone through it or have gone through it a while ago. And I look forward to maybe hearing a bit more about your stories. But in the meantime, though, we are still here to be children at heart, I should say, you know, in talking about some of our favorite things in the world, and that includes the Marvel Cinematic Universe. WH, since we last spoke, you know, has there been anything MCU related that you would want to talk about? Or, you know what, let's put it out there, even comics related that you'd like to talk about. You know what, even anything related to WH, because I understand you started a second podcast.
So I really am excited about a lot of the Star Wars content that's been out and is going to be put out. So I was, you know, asked to do a podcast at our friends at Grapple Spotlight with JP Houlihan, who's been on the show many
times.
You can
hear the trepidation in his voice, everybody, it's not that we own you, WH, okay? But no. Come on, like we at least own 40% of WH Park, there I would go. Say. So we are, you know, Grapple is our friends. Of course, JP is our friend, a friend of MCU Later. We're happy to loan him, and we're happy to give you all the support that you're looking for. What is the show called?
It's called Hello There.
Hello There.
Which is the famous line of Obi-Wan Kenobi in both A New Hope and in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. You know, in Episode 4, it's Alec Guinness. In Episode 3, it's Ewan McGregor. But I thought that's a great title for this show. And we're kicking it off talking about the Obi-Wan Kenobi show on Disney Plus. And it's been fun so far. And yeah, they're usually done on the weekends.
And that is part of the Grapple Patreon. Is that correct?
I don't know if it's part of the Patreon or not. I think the first episode, which covered episodes 1 and 2, was free. So you can check that out if you just go to, you know, Grapple Spotlight on YouTube. I think they put everything up on YouTube as well.
Yeah, I think it's actually on the free Grapple feed. So simply look for Grapple on your podcast app and you can hear Hello There, W.H. Park and J.P. Houlihan's Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi review. It's a show I've been catching up with. I've loved it so far. It's been great.
We'll try to have you on before the series ends, Dwayne, okay. If you want to come on to talk about Star Wars instead of the MCU. But you know, my original idea, like, you know, if I was going to do Star Wars content, was to do it with you, and we would call it This Is the Way, you know, but with your name instead of WAY. But I think you're too busy, so it's all good. So it's nice to kind of spread my wings to with other people.
You know, the puns are limitless with my name, but maybe a Jurassic Park review with J.P. Houlihan at some point, you know.
That new movie is getting fucking ratioed on Rotten Tomatoes, apparently. So
So there's some Star Wars news right there. I look forward to hearing some of your more detailed thoughts on Hello There. But anything MCU related that like you wanted to discuss? We've had a few things. We've had a She-Hulk trailer that dropped in the meantime. You know, Echo has started filming. We have some Daredevil news that's set to return in TV format. Just announced today, or at least just reported today, an impending Thunderbolts movie.
Yeah, I'm excited for almost all of these things except for She-Hulk, because it looks like shit. That trailer is not good. The CG, if maybe the CG is not done, I don't know, but I'm not excited about this show at all.
So that was certainly one of the chief complaint coming off of all of that was the bad CG in the She-Hulk trailer. I'm in total agreement. It was certainly the first thing that stood out to me, even within the same trailer, you know, seeing the Hulk and look very much, I think, the way we've seen the Hulk throughout his appearances in the MCU. And then seeing She-Hulk, there's been a lot of maybe discussion coming off of it. And some of it people are kind of chalking up to the fact that, first of all, it's YouTube that, you know, most people are seeing this on. And in fact, a lot of people say that the trailer uploaded to Disney Plus looks a bit better. I think it's also the fact that, like, Hulk is not a human form, you know, it's basically a big green monster. Whereas, like, you know, with She-Hulk, they're trying to make her a lot more human, like a lot more closer to, you know, what the actress looks like. And inevitably, you're going to have a tough time, I think, replicating, you know, a real human, especially in the same scene with other actual humans. But it's certainly one of the big complaints coming off of it. I got to disagree. I think the rest of the trailer looked really fun to me. It's like, you know, a bit more lighthearted for an MCU series. She's somebody who seems to be breaking the fourth wall. I'm at least interested in the story.
I mean, this is something that's kind of akin to like her solo series in the comics, whether the ones written by her second solo series written by John Byrne, that was very much tongue in cheek, breaking the fourth wall. And then the subsequent series written by Peter David, who's very known for injecting a lot of humor into his comic book stories. And the most recent, really popular run done by Dan Slott, which is, I think, what this series is going to be based on, really playing up the fact that she's a lawyer and that she specializes in being a lawyer for affairs related to like the superheroes of the Marvel Universe. You would think that may be Matt Murdock's, you know, bag, but he sometimes does that, but he usually, like, it's superpowered evolved. It's going to go to She-Hulk. And, you know, one of the interesting things about the Dan Slott run of She-Hulk was that I believe the Time Variance Authority were a big, big part of that run. So maybe, possibly, we're going to see the TVA show up again in this She-Hulk TV show. I mean, I will watch it and cover it, possibly with you if you're not too busy. Definitely will cover. I'm watching and cover it. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be super positive about it. I hope I am. I want to you know, enjoy things that I have to watch and cover. So mm-hmm. you know, fingers crossed.
Okay, well, I know your excitement level for She-Hulk. What was your excitement level for Ms. Marvel?
It was in the middle. I'll be honest, like to be quite upfront with people, like Kamala Khan is not a character that I sought out to you know, keep up with. I don't think I'm the demographic necessarily for the character, based on, you know, like mainly I think my age. You know, like I'm an older guy. Like it's a very young, it's a teen character. I don't really relate to too many of the teen characters that come out either from Marvel or DC. So there's that. And I'm kind of done with like coming of age stories, to be honest with you, at my age in my life. And I've seen so many of them, but I was intrigued because I am very much a supporter of diversity and representation mm-hmm. in all kinds of popular media, especially in comics, because I have such a passion for comics. So the fact that this is going to be the first Marvel comic to star a Muslim character who happened to be a woman, that to me was like, that's great. I fully support that. If I'm not necessarily excited to read the stories per se, I'm excited that they're doing it. And like, you know, but I have been familiar with, you know, the Kamala Khan character, Ms. Marvel, in other iterations, in, for example, the Champions team comic book, and her appearances as part of the Avengers. I've enjoyed those. Those are both written by Mark Waid. But she appeared in the Mark Waid Avengers comic, and I thought he did a really great job of presenting her character in the team context. And you know, like we'll talk about, like, and I've been trying to catch up. As I said before, I was going to try to catch up on her solo series, which I've been doing. And I will talk about my experiences reading the first two volumes of that mm-hmm. with you, maybe a little bit later on. But I, when this was announced, I thought this is great because we need to see more representation on screen. And this is something that you and I talked about with Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. I'm so glad that movie happened. And I'm glad that this TV show is happening for people who relate to this character.
It's something we've been talking about since Black Panther.
Yeah.
You know, and really beyond that in the scope of media, you know, it's really a long time coming, you know, but let's get maybe just focused in on Kamala Khan a little bit more in the context of the Marvel Universe. This is a relatively new character. Her debut, technically, in 2013, appearing in a Captain Marvel show, a series, but she doesn't really get her own solo series until February of 2014. And you kind of mentioned, you know, like a bit more of a push for diversity, and also maybe more of an aiming at a different demographic that is typically used to perhaps buying comics. Can you maybe discuss a little bit about her origins and maybe even, you know, at large, why Marvel might have decided to go in this direction at that time?
So she, Kamala Khan, is created by, you know, a team of people, two editors at Marvel, Sana Amanat and Stephen Wacker, and then the creative team of writer G. Willow Wilson, who is an American Muslim woman, and artist Adrian Alfana and Jamie McKelvey. I think Jamie McKelvey is well known for doing works with a writer by the name of Kieran Gillen, Phonogram and The Wicked and Divine, but also doing an iteration of The Young Avengers with Kieran Gillen. And he designed the costume and the overall look of the character.
He designed the current Captain Marvel costume too, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's someone that Marvel went to a lot to design a lot of the female characters' costumes, and in particular the ones with Marvel in mm-hmm. their name. So, great comic book artist. I totally recommend The Wicked and Divine, one of my favorite comics that he has drawn in the last 20 years. But yeah, this is like, and I saw a brief clip from Sana Amanat talking about, like, I want to see a character who looks like me, mm-hmm. who has my background. And this is a push that they presented to Marvel. And, you know, the character has, you know, become quite popular. and has been very successful for Marvel. So, and leading to the show.
Yeah, even being a principal character in the most recent Avengers PlayStation video game, which I think might be a lot of people potentially their first introduction to the character in a mainstream sense. So yeah, absolutely somebody that I think they've been pushing. Just on Sana Aminat, she is also involved in the production of this show. I believe she's an executive producer or something like that.
I believe so, yes.
So still heavily involved in this iteration of Ms. Marvel. She herself is Pakistani-American from New Jersey. So this is a character very much, at least, you know, inspired by her real life. So, yeah, very exciting. But, yeah, this I was certainly reading comics at this time. I remember, like, you know, the period of like, Marvel and comic books in general, I think, constantly have issues trying to acquire new audiences. You know, at a time when people are gravitating towards, you know, television or video games or movies, they're not necessarily visiting comic books. So every so often they would do these kind of little big reboots where new characters are introduced and maybe new initiatives. And it certainly felt like one of the initiatives around this time was to increase the diversity of, you know, Marvel's cast. And it came with, you know, things like Amadeus Cho as an Asian, as the Incredible Hulk, which we may eventually see an iteration of on TV. Captain Marvel, you know, being a Carol Danvers at this point. But Kamala Khan, I would say, was definitely one of the bigger ones, bigger, maybe more. The ones that achieved maybe more success, to the point where I know people who don't usually read comics who decided to pick up this book because of, I think at that time, the novelty of seeing like a somebody portrayed as a Muslim who's also a superhero and involved in the story. I picked up, I think, the first trade. It was a long time ago, so honestly, it's completely fresh to me. I don't remember a thing about it, but it's maybe just to tell you that, yeah, this was like a pretty well-known character of recent times in Marvel history.
I'd say she and Miles Morales are probably two of the most successful, like, new characters who are legacy characters in the sense, like, the characters are new, but the identities they adopt are not, because Miles Morales is, of course, the other iteration of Spider-Man, first in the Ultimate line, and then after Secret Wars integrated into the regular Marvel universe. And so, and then Kamala Khan is the new Miss Marvel, a name previously used by Carol Danvers before she evolves into becoming the new Captain Marvel. They're very related. Like, though they make it, there's a, you know, strong narrative connection between the two. Kamala is a hero worships Carol, and this is going to play into the TV show, I believe, and it's going to play into the MCU in large, because, you know, Kamala Khan is going to be a character in the Marvels movie. So, which I'm excited to see how that's going to work out and how this show is going to lead into that.
Yeah, this is one of those Disney Plus series that already has a tie-in to the, you know, movie world at large. Because as WH mentioned, Kamala Khan is going to be a character in the Captain Marvel sequel, The Marvels, along with, of course, Captain Marvel and also Monica Rambeau. And I'm sure plenty of others that we've already seen thus far in the MCU. But without further ado, let's get into this premiere episode itself. This is episode one, Generation Y. This opening, WH, I thought was awesome. Okay, it is in the form of a YouTube video handmade by a very, very talented child. Okay, let me just say, because most YouTube videos are not of this quality. This was a YouTube video retelling the events of the Endgame final battle, done with just really high quality hand-drawn and hand-cut animation drawings, with particular focus to Kamala Khan, Kamala Khan's favorite superhero of the bunch, Captain Marvel. What did you think of the way they opened this series, WH?
I thought it was great. So inventive and so different, and really sets it apart from other, you know, Marvel properties, especially on Disney Plus. And it's inspired, I think, in part on the comic version of Kamala, but also on actress Iman Vellani. As I shared with you, like, I discovered that, you know, just tonight, like, she had her own Vimeo channel where she did things like this, like made her videos talking about her fandom of Marvel and other things. And so I think, you know, like, the producers must have been like, oh my God, we can draw upon both the comic source material and on our real life actress.
So while we're on the topic, let's focus a little bit on the star of this series, the person who plays Kamala Khan, Iman Vellani. And I think one of the most interesting things about this is that in this particular casting, they may have found a real life Kamala Khan in the world to play this person. That's something I've been learning, you know, ever since this series has been announced. First of all, just a little bit about her. She's actually she is Pakistani Canadian from near like my old neighborhood, like around Markham. Like I pass by her school at like Warden and Highway 7, like all the time. So this person is from Unionville High School, just in our neck of the woods here, WH. And from my research, outside of some of her own short films, she has done zero acting whatsoever, at least nothing credited. This is her first role, which I think just goes to show you maybe how few the roles there are, period, for like, you know, Pakistani Canadian or Pakistani American actresses. But the fact that she answered this audition, got it with no credentials whatsoever, I think told you how perfect she was for the role, because not only is she, of course, somebody with a similar background, she is a diehard MCU fan. Like she's somebody who like could probably do a way better job of hosting this podcast than you or I, WH. Like she watches like new rock stars, like Easter egg videos in the red carpet. We're seeing her like, you know, she has a very strong opinion about the designation of the MCU universe as Earth 616 instead of 199999. And only nerds are going to have that knowledge, first of all, and even an opinion about it. So she is somebody like tried and true Marvel diehard who very much fits the story of Kamala Khan and a content creator to boot, because again, from some of my knowledge, she was set to attend to, before she began her Hollywood career. Now she was set to attend OCAD for integrated media. So she does a lot of like stop motion animation on her Vimeo channel that you show me, WH. So really like the person in real life, very much that we're talking about here.
And for me, I have like this one degree of separation from her, because her favorite comic book store is in Markham. It's called Heroes World, which is at the corner of Highway 7 and Warden Avenue. Seven. And she, I just recorded an episode of The Long and Winding Royal Road with John Follick. And we were talking about maybe back in the 90s, me and Dan Lebransky passed by the same set of Japanese wrestling tapes at an Asian food store back in the 90s. And we never knew we met each other. I could have met Iman Vellani or passed by her many times. It was like a Heroes World is one of those.
She was not
stores.
There in the 90s. I'll tell you that. Cause this person is 19 years old. Okay. She was born in 2002. She was born after, again, the WWF invasion. This is how I measure time. Okay. She was born after the debuts of both Randy Orton and John Cena. So that's just to,
man, I mean, I was going to Heroes World in the 2000 and, you know, just before 2000, I went to Japan in 2011, but it's
you might have seen her as an infant being strollered into the store.
Maybe, yeah. But she shops there. I shop there and I'm friends with the owners, John and Andre. And so to me, it was like mind blowing. Oh my God. Like she got all her comics from Heroes World. She knows John and Andre. That's amazing. And you know, like it's so great for me to see those guys get all this publicity now for their store. And they took the kind of the graphic of her talking about her favorite things in Toronto, like her favorite bubble tea place, whatever, and including Heroes World. They bannered it up and put it in the front of their store, which I was like, that looks so fucking awesome. I'm so happy for those guys. And if you want a good comic store, if you're in the north part of, you know, the GTA, go to Heroes World. It's a great place and such friendly and informative staff, you know, over at Heroes World. But yeah, like to me, that's exciting too. Like that she's talking about places I've been to and I know about it. It's very much like, you know, Simu Liu, you know, becoming part of Marvel. Oh, he's same as us.
They're casting every person who's an MCU fan in Canada for these shows. So I'm expecting the call very soon.
We're going to be agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe.
Okay, sure. We'll be Jimmy Woo's like buddies.
Yeah, that will be like part of his all Asian team.
Got it. All right. Well, some point. I'm ready, Marvel. I'm sure they're patrons of the Post Wrestling Cafe here. But back to the show, everybody. This is again Iman Vellani. She plays Kamala Khan. I noted that she only has two YouTube subscribers. I think our videos are way too good to only have two subscribers. So if you can find the channel, subscribe to it. I thought it was a great way to explain, first of all, this character's adoration for the Avengers and for Captain Marvel, and also to explain her how artistic and creative she is, because as you see throughout the show, she doodles, she draws and creates costumes. So she's a very creative person, it seems.
Again, this is something that makes me wonder. How much does the general population know about like the events of Infinity War?
Evidently a whole lot, WH.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Not only did we get like a pretty accurate recreation of the events, we saw like in this cosplay Avengers Con, like everybody represented here. They were dressing up as like the Guardians of the Galaxy. We saw Drax cosplay. How do these people know who Drax is? How do these people know who Groot and Rocket Raccoon are? You know?
It's amazing. Like there's got to be something coming from Marvel where it just shows you like how these people, how the general population knows what happened between the Avengers and Thanos.
I saw a recent interview actually that was done with the directors of this particular episode, and they had said something, or somebody, maybe not even this director, don't correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, but somebody involved with the making of this show said something to the effect of like, well, listen, this is a major historical event that took place. There's bound to be some footage that's out there. And we also know, WH, that Scott Lang has a podcast and he's been spilling the beans, okay? Because in this universe, we saw part of the one of the ways that Iman Vellani was able to, or sorry, I'm going to say them interchangeably here. Kamala Khan was able to put so much effort into like this sort of retelling is because Scott Lang now has a podcast. So he's probably spilling a lot of the beans, that guy.
Yeah, it's was it Tiny Me, Little Me? That's the name of the show. I'm sure I'm going to see it in this article I'm looking at. But yes, please continue.
Yes. So you know, the other, I think, most notable and most important aspect of this particular show, this was the most immersive representation of a Pakistani-American family I've ever been personally exposed to on screen. And therefore, really, at all. You know, things like the way that, you know, I believe like many of the show creators, of course, are of a background that is Pakistani American, Sana Amana, as we mentioned, of course, you know, Iman Vellani herself, but and maybe like some of the directors too, again, please correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't done a deep dive yet, but to me from the outside looking in, it felt very authentic. You had a lot of like, what sounded like, you know, common Urdu sayings that were just thrown out there and without too much explanation, which I appreciate because I felt like I was spying in on like a conversation that normally occurs in a Pakistani American family's household. Things like Bismillah are mentioned, you know, and they don't tell us what it means, but you know what, just through context alone, you know what it means. But if you are nerdy enough to look at everything, you will learn a whole lot about another culture in the process. You know, they are catering to an audience that is willing to do research on every little detail. This is the same audience that's willing to look up the significance of flies, you know, on a windowsill in like in WandaVision. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is this Darkhold shit? So of course we're going to look up Bismillah, and we know that it means in the name of Allah. So it becomes these shows, much like Shang-Chi, much like, you know, Black Panther, much like Moon Knight. They become incredibly effective vehicles at teaching people about other cultures.
Yeah, and this is all actually from the first comic book, you know, the first trade paperback, the first issue alone is just like introduction of Kamala and her family, her mother, her father, her brother, who is a very devout Muslim. He practices to the point where his parents worry about him, like, yeah, instead of praying so much, maybe you should go get a job. And this is kind of reflected here. The accuracy to which those characters are brought to life in this TV show really amazed me. I think it's probably one of the best translations, not necessarily like physically of the looks of the characters to from page to screen, but of the essence of those characters, because they're so important to the story of Kamala in the comic books. And obviously they're equally as important on this television show.
As WH mentioned, this is a coming of age story. You know, this person, I believe the character is 16 at this time. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Somewhere around there. Okay, so she's very much a high schooler. She is from Jersey City. And as many high schoolers go through, she's about to have her driver's license test. That is one of the first scenes of this thing. And of course, she backpedals into her instructor's car upon her first movement, and she fails. And we get a real sense of the parental relationships that Kamala has. And her parents are quick to just defend Kamala for any wrongdoing, questioning the, you know, how good the instructor was when it was clearly Kamala's fault. So, and the mom even blames herself. She says, "This is all my genetics. I come from a long line of daydreamers." So, you know, what does that tell you? I know, WH, you might not necessarily be in the market for a coming of age story, but did you find this one perhaps well done? And what were you able to gather from the relationship between Kamala and her parents?
I might not be in the market for a coming of age story, but I like a story that has really good character interactions and dynamics, and particularly with family members. And I don't know about you, Wei. Like, to me, this family is very similar to mine.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's like absolutely. The mom especially. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that's like my mom. I almost like felt like the show should have had trigger warning, you know, like advisories on screen. This might remind you of your own mother.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Which is, I think, universal, right? Yes. Like, but I think especially people from, you know, a non-Western background, family background, can relate to the similarities that a lot of our families' structures and dynamics have.
Yeah, at the core of this story is a young person struggling to come to a balance of her parents' very traditional values and her very modern values that she goes to high school. And like, it's something I'm sure you and I and many people listening have tried to go through, you know, going to school with like maybe food that's not necessarily, I don't know, the most common. Like my parents never made me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They made me plenty of other things that, you know, were very different. And it's in this case, at least, you know, we get a similar story told where Kamala Khan is very much struggling to, I think, both appease her parents' values as well as the values that her upbringing and her social circle is placing on her. So we go to the school, and you know, we immediately see that Kamala is sort of like your classic nerdy outcast. She doesn't fit in with the cool kids. She's bad at sports. She gets hit with the dodgeball almost every game. But she has very close friends, and among them are Nakia, who we don't see too much of in this one. But we do see a lot of Bruno, who is her male friend, who's a bit of a tech wizard and somebody who is willing to definitely do anything for Kamala. I mean, the implication, at least to BWH, is that he is, you know, has a big crush on Kamala Khan.
He's in love with her.
Right.
Yes. From the comics, he's in love with her. And
okay, there you go.
Again, another very accurate translation of the character from the comics. Bruno is a tech wizard in the comics. He also works at the convenience store, I think called Circle Q, in both the comics and in the TV show. And you know, they hang out at the convenience store a lot. They like drinking the version of the Big Gulp or the Slurpee in both comics and TV show. And I like this relationship, I think, more on screen than I do on the page. I think it's very wholesome. And I, you know, like, again, he's in love with her. Like, this might not be very evident necessarily or very explicit in this first episode of the show.
It was pretty explicit. Like, but it's, at some point, yeah.
By the time you get to the end of the first trade paperback, okay, yeah, he pretty much admits it and is trying to tell her. I like the fact that they're friends. And that's the most important thing as of this episode, is that they're friends. There's no tension, romantic or otherwise, necessarily, from her at least, because he's the one who's attracted to her. She looks at him as her best friend. And I find that refreshing, to be quite honest with you. And maybe it's going to evolve as the series goes on. Probably. More than likely.
There's no, you don't have a coming of age story unless there's some unrequited love attached to it. So
I don't know if this is like, you know, like fucking Ducky and Pretty in Pink with Molly Ringwald's character, or in there, you know, if that's what's going to happen. Probably not. Probably going to be much better than that particular story. But it's a testament to both the, you know, both the characters and the actors that I like this part of the show very much. It's something that made me want to continue watching it and enjoying it when I did watch it.
And for me, like, I think an especially powerful part about it is the fact that it's a love story about a Muslim American girl that I don't know if you honestly see too much of at all anywhere. I mean, as an Asian male, I'm sure you can relate to this, WH, you know, for years, like there weren't, like we might have seen ourselves as, I don't know, like Kung Fu masters or like, you know, just nerdy sidekicks. Yeah. But rarely involved in like a romantic relationship. And that to me is like, you know, one of the most interesting and valuable parts of a series like this one. And that's all you get. Cutting it off right there. We go on for quite a bit longer, so there's still a lot of show, including your feedback and discussion about what you guys thought about Ms. Marvel. So again, $6 gets you through the door at postwrestlingcafe.com. If you like the work that we do, consider signing up, and we'll pay you back in lots and lots and lots and lots of podcasts.